You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Good morning. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith. And I'm Father Greg Sackowitz, pastor of St. Mary of the Woods on Chicago's Northwest Side on Relevant Radio.
I hope there's going to be a little something extra in our paychecks because this is the second day in a row that we've been working together.
Let me give you half of it right now.
So, perfect.
Perfect. To our listeners, I just gave
this is what
Wayne
I have to go through.
A blessing. So that there's your pay
and
from
I
the
get
Lord.
The other half the next time.
Right. At 10 o'clock.
Exactly, at 10 o'clock.
When we leave. And with us, Vice President and Chief of Staff of Loyola University, Wayne Magyars. Wayne, how are you doing this morning?
I'm very well, thank you.
Yeah, a little snow hit.
We missed you
the
yesterday
weekend.
At the Grand Father Octavio and I were just talking at the Fiesta Italiana event at for St. Joseph Seminary last evening at the Doubletree Hotel in the thriving metropolis of Alsip.
And
that's right,
the
it was a nice
president
event.
Of Loyola University, Father Mike Garanzini, was the
yes,
award
yes.
winner.
Yeah, it was a nice event.
Recipient
nice event.
Of the award. And so congratulations to Father Garanzini of Loyola, the recipient of the award from St. Joseph College Seminary of Loyola University of Chicago. And with us today on Relevant Radio 950, Catholic Community of Faith, and our phone number is 312-255-8408, 312-255-8408 on this typical spring day in Chicago. The warmer weather is coming. I heard the wind in the northwest area, like around Round Lake and McHenry, about 6, 8, 9 inches of snow. Mm-hmm. So in many ways, we were spared here in Chicago
with
one or 2 inches. Yeah. We have with us in studio Father Octavio Munoz, the newly appointed director of Casa Jesus, Casa, Place of Discernment and Preparation for Hispanic Men, Considering and Preparing for the Priesthood for the Archdiocese of Chicago. And Father Octavio will talk in particular about their upcoming fundraiser, the Year of St. Paul Awards Banquet and Dance on Saturday, April 25th at the Palmer House. We'll say more about it later. Father Octavio, welcome to Catholic Community of Faith.
Thank you. Good morning. How are you?
Good to have you. And you are one of the great priests, young priests of the Archdiocese of Chicago. And as we were saying off the air, that Father Octavio was born in 1976. And Wayne said, you have shoes older than that. I think I'd be in the same category with you, Wayne. Father Octavio ordained in 2004 at Mundelein Seminary of the University of St. Mary of the Lake. And first of all, let our listeners know, give us maybe a history of Casa Jesus. When did it start and why?
Well, Casa Jesus goes back to 1987 when Father Silvano Filippetto and Father Arturo Perez, they thought about this growing need in the Archdiocese to have a program to help Hispanic young men who were interested in the priesthood. They felt that they had a harder time because of a number of reasons. Mainly, they didn't speak English, so they needed to get that first, to go to Mundelein. And secondly, to help them get ready in terms of vocation, to go through a discernment program, so to have them kind of ready for the major seminary. So that was the idea. Originally, there were three guys who joined the program, and Alejandro Garrido happens to be one of the original group. He later became ordained, and he worked at Casa Jesus right before me. So Casa Jesus has been around for 22 years. We have 36 priests who have been ordained for the Archdiocese who went through that program.
So 36 to this day.
36, that's
wow,
right.
That's terrific.
It is. And we have right now 27 seminarians up, in both seminaries, Mundelein and St. Joseph's. So after 22 years, I believe Casa Jesus has been a blessing to this archdiocese and to many of us who went through the program throughout the years.
Now, Father Octavio, the seminarians that are with you, some of them, as you mentioned, they're there for the formation program. They're also there for the language programs. They also are taking formal academic work in various institutions across the city, right?
That's correct. We have seven students as we speak now, and five of them are fully enrolled at UIC. They have a wonderful program there to learn English, so they go there for 6 hours a day to really get the English language. And two of them who already are fluent in English, they go to Harold Washington College for regular college classes. So, yes, we have those two programs going on.
And do the students already have their college degrees, most of them, or not?
You know, it's a very we have all kinds of students. We have some students who just finished high school, so they are fresh from high school, 18, 19-year-old kids. Mm-hmm. And we have students who have already gone through some theology. So it's a very broad spectrum of students.
And Octavio, is everybody at Casa Jesus born in Mexico?
We have two students from Colombia and five from Mexico. So that's
And I think for our listeners, to put this in perspective, when I was ordained to the priesthood, again, at Mundelein Seminary in 1979, ordained for Chicago, 31 men, of which one man was Hispanic. And in my day through the 70s in the seminary, a place like Casa Jesus did not exist, wasn't even thought about. But all of a sudden, at the beginning of Casa Jesus in 1987, the people need to realize in the archdiocese the demographics have tremendously changed. We have a great number of Hispanics in the Archdiocese of Chicago, both city and suburb. And I feel somewhat limited because when I was a boy, my mother was begging me, Greg, let me teach you Polish. My mother's fluent in Polish. And as a boy, I say, oh, Mom, I'm so busy. I want to go play football and basketball and run outside. I really wish I'd taken my mom up on Polish and have learned also, as I got older, in school, Spanish, because we have that need. And how many parishes, Octavio, in the Archdiocese, is there a need for an Hispanic presence?
I don't have an exact number, but I believe it's around 150 parishes that offer some sort of Hispanic ministry. Certainly not all of those parishes will have the full ministry, but they will offer Mass, which means they need a priest. So it's roughly half of the
and
parishes.
If you talk 150, I know as a fact we have roughly 370 parishes. So it is beginning to approach
nearly half. Nearly half.
That's right.
You are now a resident at the campus of Holy Name Cathedral.
That's correct.
Casa Jesus moved there 8-10 years ago, probably?
It was actually 3 years ago. This is our third year there.
How's that working out?
You know, it's a wonderful place. It's a very active place, I should say. The building is wonderful. It serves us well. And the students have access to transportation, to different things that the city has to offer. I think it's a wonderful place. It's working just fine. We like it. The students, again, they have many advantages. And they try to use those things that are offered to them. They can go to the library. They can go to they can walk to historic places in the city. So it is a wonderful place.
Now, fact that, Father Octavio, you are the new director of Casa Jesus starting in February.
That's correct.
So I'm sure you are, in a sense, overwhelmed on what possibly could be done. But you are in many ways becoming the director of a place that's been working extremely well. What are some of the challenges you see as the new director of Casa Jesus?
There are many challenges, and like you chose the right word. I feel overwhelmed, and I says to my friends that being the director of Casa Jesus is probably as close as I am ever going to get to being a parent. And that means I have full responsibility over those guys, you know. Mm-hmm. If they get sick, if they need help, I am on for it. Mm-hmm. And so the challenges are many. First of all, my main concern is that they will go through the program and benefit from it. So sometimes I have to push it. And that means I have to sit with them and practice English with them. That means I have to check that they did their homework. That means I have to check that things are being done in the house. They have chores to do too. And also the fundraising part. This is a difficult time for everyone. Yeah. And so we are concerned about that too. You know, and so There are many more challenges, but those are the ones that come to mind right now.
You're listening to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Our guest this morning is Father Octavio Munoz, who is the newly appointed director of Casa Jesus on the campus of Holy Name Cathedral. It is 9:09 in Chicago, and we'll be right back.
Real men answer the call to the priesthood. Is God calling you?
You know, I'm honored to be a priest for the Archdiocese of Chicago. I think it's great.
There's a desire to want to give back and to help and to serve those who are especially in need.
I think there's a wonderful opportunity for us to bring good news to a world that's very much in need.
When I experience through my ministry someone being brought closer to the Lord, it's an exciting, thrilling moment.
If you feel God's call to a priestly vocation, contact us at 312-751-8298 or visit our website at chicagopriest.com. John Paul II once said, "Do not be afraid. Open your heart to Christ. The deepest joy there is in life is the joy that comes from God. Jesus is the hope of the world. The people are calling. The world is calling. God is calling. Answer the call to the priesthood."
Welcome back to...
It's all about me.
Okay, Wade. Okay, one more time.
Have you ever seen such behavior, Michael?
Never. Michael, it's a Monday morning. Michael, look what I have to put up with. All I want to do is introduce the program, and Wayne's trying to get the microphone again.
Octavio, okay. There's very little humility
Wayne,
on the main show.
Wayne, take the headphones off. Stand outside the studio. Count to 100.
The listeners who can't see the body language in the studio, just before the mics would go on and the theme music is coming back, all you see is Father Greg pointing to himself with both hands.
Okay.
It's
this
almost
is your
and
last
then, of
time.
Course, and then, of course, the lights in the studio on Father Octavio and I just dim, and the spotlight hits Father Greg right in the face, and he goes, I'm on.
Okay, Wayne.
It's okay.
This is Wayne Magyar's
he
last
who
program.
Himself will be exalted.
This is
man.
Wayne's last program about Catholic humbled, community right? faith. So it's been okay. Nice having these last couple of years. And also a little thing here. It says Michael May says that up in Lindenhurst, 8 inches of snow fell and it broke his birch tree. That's not funny. But that's too bad. Okay, what are we doing here? Oh, Catholic Community Faith, Father Greg Sackwitz, along with Wayne Magyars, Vice President and Chief of Staff of Loyola University in Chicago. Our guest, Father Octavio Munoz, the newly appointed Director of Casa Jesus. Our phone number, 312-255-8408 on Relevant Radio, 950 AM, 912 on this pretty nice day here in Chicago. Father Octavio, wonderful event. It says here, His Eminence, Francis Cardinal George, and the Board of Advisors of Casa Jesus cordially invite you to join in the celebration of the Year of St. Paul Awards Banquet and Dance on Saturday, April 25th at the Palmer House Hilton Hotel in the Empire Room, 6 p.m. Tell us more about it in terms of the why of it.
We felt that we needed to have an event like this, first of all, to come together, all the people who support Casa Jesus, all the people who are helping us in many ways, and to celebrate Casa Jesus, the gift that it is to the Archdiocese, and also to recognize some individuals and organizations who have been helping throughout the years. So we have instituted this annual event in which we obviously focus on coming together, raising some funds, and also recognizing some individuals and organizations who help us in very specific ways.
And what about a phone number to learn more about it?
Certainly. We can give you the Casa Jesus general line, and that will be 312-640-1065.
That number once again?
312-640-1065.
And one of the things I learned over the break was that Casa Jesus students really only stay with you for a year.
That's right. Right? That's right.
So at the end of that year, where might they go? Several different tracks.
Well, there are three choices for them. First of all, the ideal is for them to go to the seminary, to move on to Mundelein, hopefully, And if they don't have a college degree yet, they'll have to go to St. Joseph to go through college. So that's the first choice, and that's the ideal for all of them. The second choice will be if a student is supposed to go to Mundelein, but his English is not quite there yet, he'll have to go through an extra year of English at St. Joseph's. And, well, the third option, which we don't really want to have, is to go home.
Okay.
So they have a year to come to
that. But the guys who take option one or option two, they're on the track to be ordained for Chicago?
That's correct. All of our students are Chicago seminarians.
Okay. The fundraiser coming up.
Keep going when
Father
you're doing
Octavio. The fundraiser
Thanks
coming
for
up.
Come today.
That's one source of revenue for Casa Jesus. But obviously, part of your job, in addition to being the parent of your 27 seminarians, is identifying and raising philanthropic dollars to keep Casa Jesus running. Where are some of the other sources of money?
There is a foundation who has been helping us throughout the years, the Koch Foundation. And there are some individuals and parishes. Sometimes they are. Have a second collection for us. They may have a little we have a Lenten campaign, so we send boxes where people will put a little money throughout Lent, just basically like the Operation Rice Bowl,
sure.
That sort of thing. So, and also we have individuals donating money to us, so that's how we get our donations.
Telephone number this morning, 312-255-8408. Tomas from East Marquette Park is on the telephone. Tomas, good morning and welcome to Catholic Community of Faith.
Muy buenos días.
Buenos días. Good morning, Tomás.
Yo tengo una pregunta para Padre Octavio Muñoz Capetillo.
Okay, go ahead.
I would just like to say that I did not attend Casa Jesus, but I attended Casa Muñoz because he is very active in getting the English-speaking priests to learn Spanish and encouraging us to be able to minister in the Hispanic community, and because of him, I am now an administrator of a parish that is 80% Spanish-speaking, and I owe a great deal of gratitude to my compañero de clase, Octavio Muñoz Capetillo.
That's right, Tom, and I thank you for your hard work and your efforts in serving the Hispanic community. You are doing a terrific job, and I commend you for that.
And Tomás, you've coined a phrase, Casa Muñoz. Maybe we'll take that to the next level and further develop
it. Casa Muñoz.
It's got a nice ring to it.
Indeed it does.
Well, Tomás, thank you very much for calling Catholic Community of Faith, and I hear you're doing wonderful work in the Archdiocese, and God bless you, and thank you for calling the program this morning.
Muchísimas gracias.
God bless you, my brother priest.
Buena suerte. Adiós.
Thank you.
Now, well, that's a great phone call.
That's right.
To have a young man call who's really a classmate of yours, and to say that he's continued but in a different way with the Archdiocese of Chicago. But as Wayne mentioned earlier, see, I thought Casa Jesus was actually a place of study for 2 years, but it's 1 year.
It
now, beside
year.
The work that they do at a college or outside Casa Jesus, it's a house of discernment, so I'm assuming prayer is a big part of the daily activity at Casa Jesus.
Absolutely. We have daily prayer. We have daily Mass. We do have devotions, so we have Holy Hour during the week. We have Lectio Divina. We have different sorts of things. Again, the idea is that the guys who come through us will get ready for seminary life. Father, you went through seminary for many, many years, and you know the routine. You know, you go to morning prayer, you go to Mass, you go to study, you have to do some chores. So basically, we try to incorporate all of that in our program so that the guys get a real glimpse of what it means to be at the seminary and also to be a priest.
You know, it's funny you say that because I was in the seminary for 8 years. I did not go to, and then would have been Archbishop Quigley North, chose Notre Dame High School for Boys in Niles. And upon graduation from the high school, then entered the seminary, Niles College Seminary of Loyola, which is today St. Joe's, the College Seminary of Loyola. And ironically, I look back on it, I didn't think the 8 years was that long. 4 years of college, 4 years of theologate was a tremendous seminary experience, both on the college level and the theologate. But in hindsight, I'm really glad it was that long because you need that type of time through prayer, discernment, spiritual formation with your classmates to say, is this what the Lord is calling me to? And to respond to that invitation, which by the grace of God will be ordained a priest this May, 30 years and truly thank God for the gift of priesthood. And so it's interesting when you said about long years, but they went by very fast. They really went by fast. And how many men are you looking to enter Casa Jesus next September? Any idea yet?
That's a very good question. So far, I have interviewed 32 men.
32?
32, that's right. And I have five more who like to talk about it. One of them in Colombia, one in Chile, and three of them in Mexico. So I need to contact them.
What's your capacity at?
Well, we only can take 15, you know, and okay. that's limited because of space and also because of our monies. It's expensive to have students there.
Yeah. Well, Father Octavio, thanks for joining us today, and certainly good luck in your good work with the students at Casa Jesus. We're neighbors, so if you need anything from us, just knock on my door anytime of the day
Thank
night.
You.
We're always there.
Thank you all. I hope to see you all at the banquets.
God bless. Keep up the great ministry, Octavio.
Thank you. You're listening to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio, 950 AM. It's 920 in the morning. Wayne Najjar is along with Father Greg Sackwitz, and we'll be back.
This is Cardinal Francis George with a personal invitation to join my internet-based network. Beginning in Holy Week, it will be my pleasure to send you short reflections to help you on your spiritual journey. You can sign up by going to our website at www.archchicago.org. All we need is your email address. That's www.archchicago.org. Thanks for joining the Cardinals Network as we use the internet to help spread the gospel of Jesus Christ.
We asked people all over America, what have you done for your marriage today?
Boy, I gave a huge hug this morning, like a really big squeeze that lasted forever. Great kiss. Those things are really important.
She got a really short haircut that she hated, and I wrote her a note and put it up on the mirror saying that she was a cute girl with cute hair.
What have I done for my marriage today?
We've actually organized a date night tonight.
What have I done for my marriage today?
Wow, that is a great question.
I took the baby while she worked.
I got up with the baby while he slept.
Yeah.
Today, I sent an email to my husband, and I said, you rock.
Well, I've done today what I usually do, and that is obey.
I listened to my wife when we talked on the telephone today. She really likes it when I listen.
What have you done for your marriage today? Little things can make a big difference. For ideas, go to foryourmarriage.org, a message from the Catholic Communication Campaign.
And welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith, and I'm Father Greg Sackowitz, pastor of St. Mary of the Woods on Chicago's Northwest Side, and co-host Wayne Majors, vice president and chief of staff, Loyola University of Chicago. Time is 9:23 on Relevant Radio 950. Wayne, quit shuffling the papers.
Sorry about that.
You're distracting me again.
That's very strict.
Our phone number, 312-255-8408, 312-255-8408. A tremendous topic in which we would invite your phone calls. Our topic is the unethical behavior of business leaders in the current economy. So the phones might be ringing because the economy certainly affects all of us. And with us in studio, we have Joe Holt, the Director for Executive Ethics in the Executive Education Program and Assistant Professor of Management at the University of Notre Dame. Joe, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Good to be with you in your new location at the Catacombs.
I was going
to
say, yeah.
We've heard it. You know, down here, there could be a dramatic shift in the ice edge, and we wouldn't even know it down here. People,
is the sun out, Wayne? We call this the lower garden level.
Yeah.
Yeah, not the catacombs. That is pretty funny. And with us also in studio, we have Dr. Abel Jalivand, Dean of the School of Business at Loyola University and a good friend of Wayne Magyar's. Abel, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. Good
doesn't
to be
mean
here.
He's going to get the easy questions, though.
I was warned before.
All right, so we'll start with you, Abel. A lot of blame going on out there in the media. How did we get into this mess?
I think there are multiple reasons that we got into this mess. I think part of it is economic. Part of it is human behavior, and part of it is the way that some of our executives are developed all through their lives. So it's complex. It's focuses on a variety of subjects and sources.
So in teaching ethics, Joe, is this the perfect storm for how not to behave when you talk to your students?
It is, although I wouldn't call it a perfect storm in the sense that it's good in that attention is given to the essential amount of space that we give to the topic. But the nature of the attention, in my opinion, is sort of unfortunately focused on the negative side of ethics and business. Yeah. You know, ethics is a matter of not getting in trouble, of avoiding wrongdoing. At Notre Dame, we're trying to evolve a voice that focuses on the positive side of ethics. So you strive to avoid wrongdoing as a minimum threshold, but then you aspire beyond that to achieve excellence, to conduct business in a manner that you can be proud of. But I think if you could do a brain scan on 1,000 random people on Michigan Avenue and see what pops into their minds when you say the words ethics and business, what do you think you would see?
Yeah.
And I think you'd see Bernie Madoff. You wouldn't see Leonard Abbas, who is the bank president in Miami, who in February it was reported sold a majority interest in his bank and then gave $60 million of his own money to about 400 of his employees.
And see, many people don't even know about that.
They don't.
Because they just hear or think about the negative. We'd like phone calls from our listeners, 312-255-8408. Maybe your take on the whole economy, your questions for our two professionals here with us this morning. Abel, you mentioned three aspects, you know, what got us into this whole mess. And you talked about the, you know, economy itself, human behavior. But focus on that third aspect you had mentioned.
The question of human behavior. I think that if you look at one of the primary reasons, I have to go back and mix in economics with human behavior because that's really what created this whole thing. One issue that has not been discussed at all and about sort of creating this situation is the tremendous reliance on borrowed money in the economy. If you look at, for example, the ratio of total debt in the economy in the United States as a percentage of our GDP. During normal economic environments, we are talking about the 2-to-1 ratio. Right now, we are 5-to-1. So I think that tells you about the complexity of this situation. And the human behavior is not just coming from managers. It's also coming from investors. Now, let me give you a few examples so that you can see exactly where this is coming from. If you go 10 years back, and if you look at a period of 50 years, Let's say that from 1950 until 2000. And if you look at the average rate of return on equity, you come up with a number. This is a realized rate of return. You come up with a number of about 8%. Now, if you go from 2000 until a few years before that event, you know, just unfolded, you would realize that investors actually have been expecting to get 20%, and they considered 15 to 20% as appropriate normal rate of return.
So now, if they didn't get it, they were disappointed.
Disappointed. Yeah. And they went to the managers and they told them essentially, get me that rate of return. If you don't get me that rate of return, you are not doing your job. You are not performing very well. Now, what does a manager do? Now, obviously, you should either try to educate them or try to basically leverage your return. So then you started using more of the derivatives, you started borrowing more money so that it can boost the rate of return and some of the things that you see happen. The other part of it is also educational. There were lots of schemes and instruments used in the market that they really had not had the test of empirical validity. For example, when you talk about derivatives, we talk about options, futures, you know, just forward contracts. Everybody knows what they are. They have been around for many, many years. People know all about their faults and the problem. But some of the new instruments, they were just too complex. People really didn't know how they're going to work. And when they started producing return, they didn't know what to do with it.
Now, one of the early signs of the meltdown was the upside down situation in real estate. That's, you know, that's kind of the first sign that we saw that bad things were starting to happen. And you know, there's been a lot of talk with the stimulus program and bailout money that, oh, you know, these, and this is where I must get on my soapbox for about 30 seconds here. This is where I have a problem with bailout money. Individuals who clearly overextended themselves. Now, and we could debate as to whether if there was greater regulation, they would not mortgage companies would not have been permitted to do this. But you know, at the end of the day, it takes two to tango, and no one held a gun to anyone's head saying you must buy that $400,000 home when you really only could afford a $200,000 home. How do you respond in a classroom situation, Joe, to somebody who may be saying, you know, the government needs to step in and be even more aggressive than it is now in helping people save their homes, save their real estate, when so much of why we're in this mess is because of the situation that I just described?
Well, I think you have to watch for the problem of a moral hazard, of kind of enabling people to make really bad decisions and suffer no consequences as a result of that. Abul had mentioned the problem, the ratio of debt in the economy in general. On the individual level, you know, you can come up with similar statistics. In 1982, the average American household saved 11% of its disposable income. In recent years, that figure has been closer to zero. So people on an individual level are overly leveraged. I was reading just yesterday about an immigrant worker in California who made $14,000 a year, who was given a loan to purchase a $720,000 home. So there's clearly something awry in that.
We're going to go to a break here on Catholic Community Faith. I'm Father Greg Sackwitz along with Wayne Majors. Our guests are Joe Holt and Dr. Abul Javalan. And our phone number, 312-255-8408. Time in Chicago, 931 on Relevant Radio, 950. Stay with us and do not touch that dial.
The cemetery ministry is a core ministry of our Catholic faith tied to the corporal works of mercy. Cardinal George says, "It's comforting to know that our Catholic cemeteries are caring for the remains of our loved ones awaiting the resurrection." There are 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries willing to help you during times of loss. Call 708-449-6100 for assistance. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
We asked people all over America, what have you done for your marriage today?
It's a good question.
Boy, I gave a huge hug this morning, like a really big squeeze.
I took the baby while she worked.
I got up with the baby while he slept.
Yeah. We've actually organized a date night tonight.
I cooked my husband's favorite breakfast.
Well, I've done today what I usually do, and that is obey.
What have you done for your marriage today? Don't forget the small stuff. Need ideas? Go to foryourmarriage.org. A message from the Catholic Communication Campaign.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
And welcome back to the program, 933. Wow, the I'm speechless. 255-8408, area code 312 is our telephone number this morning on Catholic Community of Faith. Wayne Madjars and Father Greg Sackwitz talking about ethics in business and what has really happened and continues to happen in our economy, and especially as it relates to ethics in the classroom, in Catholic institutions. Two experts with us this morning, Joel Holt, who is the Director of Executive Ethics at the Executive Education Program at University of Notre Dame, and Dr. Abel Jalavan, who is the Dean of the School of Business Administration at Loyola University. We have seen a lot of finger-pointing over the past couple of 3 years when we've gotten into this economic stew. We've seen blame being attributed in some cases to corporate executives and greed. We've seen some of that being shared by the population in general. For a long time, gentlemen, we've been teaching ethics at a variety of levels in business schools throughout the country. Have you guys failed us in producing leaders or not enough people in influential positions to stem some of this? When we see executives at places like AIG taking horrendously large bonuses after just getting government bailouts, how do you respond to somebody who says, "What have you been doing all this time, and why haven't we been able to produce what we say we do?" And I say we collectively, which are responsible leaders, ethical leaders in business, who are at the very least going to be sensitive to some of the things we're facing right now. Who wants to take that one?
Let me just take a stab at it. I think that we need to look at ethics or business ethics or socially responsible behavior as a process that occurs over a long period of time. So when you look at the business schools, somebody that who graduates from a business school from a regular MBA program, you're talking about 30-year-old. A 30-year-old person has had only 2 years of its entire education in the business school, and the balance of that has been at the undergraduate program, at the high school, and then the family position. So it is looking at business schools as the primary culprit, although they are to blame in some sense, but I don't think that it speaks about the whole thing. The other issue that is important, when the notion of ethics as a field of inquiry so that it can come into the universities has only become relevant over the past probably 7 to 8 years. Prior to that, ethics courses were offered but were not required. At Loyola, we are particularly interested in that issue. We have two required business ethics courses. Nobody graduates from our undergraduate or MBA program without taking a business ethics course and pass it. In addition to that, we have four elective courses in ethics. We have a particular ethics course in finance. And courses by themselves also can't do the whole thing unless they are matched with some internship possibilities and some service courses so that the students can actually go there and do so. One thing that is emerging right now with respect to ethics is the connection between ethics and leadership. And I think that is what is important. I think it is becoming absolutely abundantly clear. Companies that are transparent and they have ethical and social responsibility attached to them, they can actually do a better job. And I think that's one thing that it needs to be stressed.
Joe, jump in.
Yeah, I'd agree with all of that. I would add that with respect to ethics education in graduate business programs, first of all, I don't think we're asking all the right questions. There's one category of ethical questions that focuses on moral judgment. What's the right thing to do? There's another more fundamental category that focuses on moral self-definition. At the individual level, what kind of person do you want to be? At the organizational level, what kind of company do you want to be? Who are you in business to serve? What do you stand for? So I think that in ethics education, we're not aiming high enough. We're not asking those fundamental questions. And with the questions we are asking, the focus, again, is on not getting in trouble. We're not asking enough. Under Dean Carolyn Wu at Notre Dame, a lot of the initiatives and efforts and programs have been crystallized under a trademark message, ask more of business.
You know, I think another thing that's important is, and Wayne was mentioning this earlier, you know, let's face it, you have great doctors. You have bad doctors. You have great lawyers. You have bad lawyers. You have great priests. You have bad priests. And, you know, in terms of – in the whole area of business ethics, you're dealing behind the field with individuals. And the word I like is the word integrity. Integrity means your words and actions fit. So were you, Joe, or Abel, you get the blame. You know, what type of young individual you're producing? Well, the individual has to take responsibility for themselves in terms of, are they a follower of the Lord? And somehow they know right from wrong. Let's be honest. They know, and they know what to do. And one thing I keep hearing over and over again, and it's hard to put a finger on an individual, but the real heart of this whole problem in the economy has been about greed.
That's right.
Now, I don't want to simplify it, and I'm not an economist, but could you respond to that?
I think greed is clearly has played a role in what we have seen. And then you see some of its evidence with respect to these bonuses, that they're not that big, but the fact that actually the board of directors of the company agreed with providing those bonuses as opposed to coming with a different mechanism which connects them to more productivity. One issue which is really important, and I felt that, which is not something that you can teach in the university, is respect and care for others. A lot of people in this economy, they did the following. They said, all right, this doesn't look like a good deal. So I'm going to do it, but I'm going to pass the risk to somebody else, assuming that that somebody else is going to take the risk. And if that person fails, you are not going to fail. I think that was a major moral failure on the basis of a lot of people.
Heads I win, tails you lose.
And I want to pursue that in the context of what does it mean to teach business ethics and talk about a lot of the things that we're talking about today in the context of a faith-based institution at a Loyola or a University of Notre Dame. We'll do that when we come back. It's 9:40 in the morning. You're listening to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio, 950 AM. Wayne Majors and Father Greg Sackowitz, and we'll be right back.
You're invited to watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Here's host Graziano Marcheschi.
Thousands of Catholics crowd into the Capitol Rotunda in Springfield to make their voices heard on social justice issues important to the Church. The Archdiocese of Chicago hosts a major national conference aimed at protecting children. And Cardinal George answers questions from attendees at Parish Leadership Evangelization Day. We'll show you what he had to say.
For several interesting stories about the Archdiocese, please watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Radio TV for the time and cable channel in your area. That's www.archchicago.org. The Church, the Cardinal, and You, compelling television about your Archdiocese.
Welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith. Wayne and I are having a real struggle today and who's going to get the microphone. So that's the last time you're going to talk, Wayne,
right.
At 9:35. It was your last time you're going to talk. Now, time is 9:42. I'm Father Greg Sackowitz along with Wayne Majors. Our guests are Joe Holt and Dr. Abel Jolivand. And we are going to go to the phones here. Joe from the Southwest Side, question or comment on Catholic Community Faith. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning, Father, and good morning, gentlemen. Well, first of all, besides my own thoughts of what Joe was saying on the phone, what I heard on the phone, the radio, I agree with. And then on my own second thought is, as when I was growing up, I could hear my late father used to tell me, hey, Joe, if you got yourself in a mess, now you get yourself out of that mess. Number two point is, like a lot of priests, including Father Andy, would say, hey, Joe, if you're not going to cooperate with what I told you, then quit wasting my time. And then with your one comment, Father, about priests and everything, I thought, back in 2005 when my department had called me in, and said, like, you got a couple priests who helped you a lot with this excellent evaluation, Joe, Father Andy being one of them and everything. But I do think that they, and I think it's ridiculous how they want that bonus and everything. I mean, you look at the people who aren't getting raises or bonuses, and even the governor says he wants to, you know, take a cut in pay and everything before the good is, and they want us to pay our income tax. Come on, I'd rather give it to a needy family that who really needs it than these people. These CEOs are stupid, I think, in a way.
Yeah, Joe raises a good point. The idea of and it kind of gets back to what Father Greg said earlier of integrity. And Joe, you wanted to pick up on that theme as really the moral fiber, the ethical fiber of individuals being in play or formed far more and far earlier and far more solid than any MBA program is going to turn them around in 2 years or any business school, right?
Well, I think that's right. I mean, people's fundamental values and so forth are learned at their mother's and father's knees, of course. What they don't learn is you can have a fundamental commitment to justice, to fairness, to being caring and so forth, but what will that mean for your new role as a fiduciary, as a financial services professional and so forth in terms of conflict and interest and so forth? You don't learn that, so we can do a lot of that work. You had mentioned the importance of individual integrity. I had mentioned our Notre Dame message of Ask More of Business. It has three tenets, the first of which is individual integrity. The second is effective organizations. The third is greater good. And those are all intertwined. For a person of faith, individual integrity is acting consistent with his or her faith values and beliefs. And I think something that for Catholic universities and also I think the church as a whole that we could do a much better job of is talking about the ways in which you can do that as a business person. The Jesuit Pierre Teilhard de Chardin famously said that the future belongs to those who give the next generation reasons to hope. And I think that we don't give the next generation of business leaders reasons to hope if we offer a clear denunciation of wrongdoing in business but don't offer an equally clear vision of business as a worthy vocation.
I do want to thank you, Joe, for your comment here on Relevant Radio 950, Catholic Community Faith. Abel, question. All this money we are pumping into the economy through the Federal Reserve, you know, just pumping this money in right now, what's the effect going to be into the future?
Well, I think that what everybody is talking about is that you are expecting an inflationary environment within the next couple of years, and the idea to deal in one sense they are promoting the inflationary environment because the real danger that we are facing is deflation. Everybody is concerned about deflation because deflation really brings the economy down to its knees, particularly in terms of its indebtedness. Also the government essentially banks on the fact that this is a cycle, and we have hit the bottom, and we're going to come up.
Now, have we hit bottom?
I think there are some reasons to believe that we have hit the bottom. I won't give it more than 40% because if you compare what we are experiencing right now with some of the previous crises, particularly the one that occurred in Japan, and if you compare us with what they were experiencing, our situation is worse than them. And the Japanese are still paying for the problem that they had back in mid-1990s.
Yeah, Joe.
Just building on Ubel's point about the amount of debt we're incurring, I sometimes wonder if our government suffers the same problem that has plagued business in short-termism, a focus on short-term results. In business, we need a focus on sustainable economic performance, which requires a concern for ethics and ethical leadership. In government, we need folks who are more focused on the next generation instead of the next election. And so forth, and we're really looking long term.
How does all of this translate into institutions like Loyola or Notre Dame that are teaching ethics, that are addressing these issues to their students, to future leaders in the context of a faith-based or Catholic institution? We've heard some words in the conversation today of hope. Long-term faith in the ability for business to succeed. Do those components and others take on a different dimension when you're teaching ethics in business in a Catholic institution?
I think they do, absolutely. It was my privilege to teach a spirituality of work elective in Loyola's MBA program for a number of years. And when I think of ethics and business, I don't think so much of Ken Lay and Bernie Madoff. I think of the students I was privileged to teach at Loyola, the students I'm now privileged to teach at Notre Dame in our EMBA, MBA executive programs and so forth. And I think about the positive difference they can make in their own lives, in their organizations, in the communities served by those organizations. And the students kind of, you know, they catch that you believe in them. They catch that our universities don't exist so that nice people can make an even nicer living. That happens, but they exist because we want to make a positive difference and live out the gospel values in a way that transforms the world.
We're going to go to break here on Catholic Community of Faith. And just what you're saying, Abel and Joe, my brother had a great comment to me a week ago. He says, the line is, when my neighbor loses their job, we call it a recession. When I lose my job, we call it a depression. You know, but different
right.
perspective. And
absolutely.
So time in Chicago is 9:49 on Relevant Radio 950, Catholic Community Faith. I'm Father Greg Sackwitz along with Wayne Majors, and our guests are Joe Holt and Dr. Abel Javaland. Stay with us. We'll be back right after a break.
If you haven't read the Catholic New World lately, you're in for quite a surprise. It's bigger, bolder, and better than ever before.
The Catholic New World is a rich and diverse resource for Catholics throughout the Archdiocese of Chicago. It carries stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Our most read column is written by our publisher, Cardinal Francis George, our shepherd, teacher, and leader.
Our columnists provide support in spirituality and evangelization, and you'll want to browse the Around the Archdiocese page, your gateway to Catholic activities throughout Cook and Lake Counties.
In our next few issues of the Catholic New World, as well as on our website, gather tips to enhance your Lenten journey.
Visit our website at www.catholicnewworld.com. View our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and while you're there, subscribe to the Catholic New World or call 312-534-7777.
Better than ever, subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
And welcome back to the program, 9:50 in the morning, Catholic Community of Faith, Relevant Radio, 9:50 a.m. We're talking about a lot of money these days. You know, we're no longer talking, we're not only talking millions, we're not only talking billions. Now we're starting to use the T word, and actually some of you may have heard the line the other day about the corporate executive who was told that four Brazilian soldiers had just died in Afghanistan, and the first thing he says is, well, how much is four Brazilian?
How much is a Brazilian?
And it's a sad testimony to where we're going that we're thinking that way these days. In any event,
the numbers are staggering.
My point, to
the earlier caller's point, you know, the ratio of the average CEO pay to the average worker's pay was 50-1 in 1980, became 131-1 by 1993, and now it's approximately 400-1. So in 2005, the average CEO would earn as much after his first day of work as the average worker would in 52 weeks.
Yeah. And, Joe, you haven't even mentioned the average salary of an athlete. We're talking football, baseball, basketball, hockey.
Yeah. So the numbers have been
incredible.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, Abel, it's more than the 2 years of MBA school, as we talked during the break. Many institutions, the Loyolas, the Notre Dames, and others, really have infiltrated into all of their curriculum from the very beginning, not only at the undergraduate level, but through a variety of experiences for their students, the concepts that are really paramount to understanding what ethical behavior is all about, right? And you've certainly seen that at our place that you haven't seen in other places.
Exactly. I have worked in several other institutions, and when you walk into the classroom at Loyola, you talk to professors or administrators, you clearly sense that there is something else going on here, something that it is time-tested, it reflects a tradition. There are honors code for students, there are service courses for students, and in the classroom, the kind of examples, the kind of companies that you know, just that you do case analysis. So it is much more than just a few ethics courses here and there. It's a process. It is something that what we would hope to do is that once you graduate from the university, you believe that you are a better person because you are making ethical and appropriate decision. If we could succeed in doing so, I think many of the things that we have seen in the economy would not have happened.
I completely agree with Abul that it includes the entire program. For millennia, the question has been debated, can ethics be taught? I like to say the better question is, can ethics not be taught? Because by what you emphasize as true, important, urgent, you shape values, you shape behavior. You know, psychology recently indicates that character continues to be formed into the 20s and beyond. Why? People will act consistently with what they believe to be true or important. So if a business leader, as Abul was mentioning earlier, emphasizes the importance of generating a certain rate of return, hitting a certain earnings per share target, makes it clear that is the most important thing in this organization, that's an ethics lesson. It's a bad ethics lesson, yeah, but it's an ethics lesson.
Everybody agrees that we're going to get out of it. Nobody agrees on when. Be that as it may, yeah, when we do, are you hopeful that we will have learned lessons this time that we will not repeat the next time?
I think that's a tough thing to say, because unless we figure out exactly what happened, then most of the solutions that we are offering can help us in the short term, but there are no guarantees that in the long run we will not face the same situation. But one thing that I know is that the economy as we see it today is going to change. The structure of the economy is going to change. The level of regulation is going to change. The whole executive compensation framework is going to change. How well the government and the parties are going to participate in that process is something that it's not yet clear. But in the short term, yes, we are going to come out of this thing, I think, within 18 months or 2 years.
Joe, do you think one of the evils here has been regulation? I mean, there's so much talk about the fact that had we been a little stricter with banks, we wouldn't be maybe in as deep as we are now.
Oh, yeah, I think that's right. There was a famous meeting of leaders of the major investment banks with the SEC a number of years ago where they asked to relax the capital requirement rule. It was relaxed, and shortly after that, the leverage of Bear Stearns, the ratio of their debt to their assets went above 30-1 and so forth. So clearly there's need for regulation. Alan Greenspan was saying he had hoped that, you know, he could rely on self-interest, that these organizations would do the right thing, but they didn't. Again, though, in terms of getting out of trouble, I sometimes think we're not aiming high enough. You know, in terms of physical health, I can aim at not being sick, or I can aim at thriving. In terms of ethics, I can aim at not being trouble, or I can aim at exemplary behavior. So are we going to get to the point where behavior is really exemplary, something we can all be proud of? I think we are doing some great things there at Notre Dame, Loyola. I think the church as a whole can do an awful lot more there, because church teaching on the dignity of lay vocation, on the possibilities of business's vocation is terrific. Our presentation of that teaching from the pulpits and elsewhere leaves a good deal to be desired. I can't remember the last time I heard a sermon that talked in a positive way about business as a worthy vocation, as a way of living out, extending the values of the kingdom.
You know, two things that hit me as I saw a cartoon about a month ago. It listed every type of toaster, the GE toaster, every type of brand. The thing was, buy this toaster and get with it a free bank. The other thing is, in the last couple of months, it was part of my homily yesterday at St. Mary the Woods, is the economy we are presently experiencing, and many people, not many, but some are losing their jobs in my parish, across the board, across the nation, jobs are being lost. But more than one person has said, this tougher economy has actually brought our family closer together. Because in losing a lot with their stocks, their 401ks, they've kind of circled the wagon and gone back to the basics. So, you know, things are tough and people are worried sick about the economy. Joe?
I think one of the great things relevant to that that Catholic social teaching has to offer is the emphasis on the importance of the human impact of business decisions. I mean, the Economic Justice for All, the Bishop's Letter on the Economy, talks about human dignity realized in community with others as a central criterion for moral decision making. Too often in business, I think sometimes decisions are made with respect to mergers and acquisitions, exotic derivative securities, compensation systems, and so forth, without sufficient thought to the impact that that's going to have on human beings who are going to lose their jobs and so forth.
Yeah, and you know we can talk for hours about how all of this translates into an individual's workplace environment with unethical colleagues, unethical bosses. But if you had to, one thing, one takeaway for our listeners this morning on maybe a question to ask or something to ponder in the workplace in these times, what would it be? What would you suggest as a takeaway for our listeners that might want to?
Apple, in 10 seconds, we're losing this program.
I think be vocal, and when you're facing an unethical situation, a situation which is not fair, talk about it and try to change it.
Okay, thank you very much. I want to thank in a very special way our guest, Joe Holt, and Dr. Abel Javeland, for on this topic has been the unethical behavior of business leaders in the current economy. Special thanks to co-host Wayne Majors, and special thank you to our producer, Jim Dish, and to our engineer, Michael May, for another wonderful job. To our listeners, thank you for joining us here on Catholic Community Faith on Relevant Radio 950. To all, God bless and have a wonderful week.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day, and God bless you.